Who are we that the God of the living, of the universe lives inside of us? Lord, we're grateful that the Holy Spirit is in us and that this greatness lives in us. Help us to be good stewards of this power. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this is graduation Sunday, and you know, we had to make some adjustments because if you've been following me the last few weeks, today I was supposed to talk about divorce. And I know that doesn't sound like a subject that's appropriate for a graduation, and I figured the same thing too, so we made some adjustments. I didn't really, the young people were going to be in here, so I changed everything. I got my regalia out, and I said, we're going to have to switch gears. And so first service didn't have the young people in there, so I had a different message just for first service. It's for anybody, but especially if you're 40, 50 plus. Yeah. I had a message designed just for you. But today's message is designed for the young people. Adults get to listen in. But I crafted this message with the 20 and below. You won't be upset for hearing the message if you're not in that age group, but listen in. But I do encourage you, if you didn't hear first service, it was designed for people who are not in that category. You can get that online on Monday. Hallelujah. So we're gonna get started. And again, I'm crafting this for the young people, but it really can apply to everyone. Amen. So we're going to get ourselves in graduation mode. Imagine we're out in the big stadium and thousands of people. We got the balloons and we got the, you know, we had the congratulations and we got the band out there and everything. This is our church has turned into a graduation today. Amen. So this is my message. The title of this message is Back to the Future. Now, some people may recognize that if you're younger, you may not. Remember Michael J. Fox. Oh, man, he was one of my favorite actors. What was the sitcom he was in? Family Ties. Oh, man, love Family Ties. But I really thought he was cool when he was in Back to the Future and he was riding that skate, that hoverboard. Man, Michael J. Fox, one of my favorites. But I think the movie came out in 1985, and I'm a science fiction geek. So all the time travel and stuff that was involved, I'm not going to really talk about the movie. I'm just grabbing the title for effect. But we're going to talk about Back to the Future because for the young people, what I want you to understand is that that's all you have in front of you, your future. All right. So we're going to talk about how you think about the future. So I'm going to give you a verse for context. I'm going to give you a verse for context, and then I'm going to expound. So if you go with me to Psalms 139, 15 and 16 here. Psalms 139, 15 and 16. Another memorable passage of scripture. Psalms 139, 15 and 16. I'm going to go straight there. I'm reading from the ESV. It says that my frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, it says, your eyes saw my unformed substance when you were a zygote. You know, when that stage in the development where there's just cells and it looks like a blob, God saw you. Hallelujah. When the sperm was traveling and hadn't got to the egg yet, God saw you. He says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In other words, you were there before you were formed, before you had a heartbeat, before science could officially recognize your existence. God saw you. He says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. He wrote out your days, his plan for you in a book before people could officially recognize that you existed. Wow. It's in a book. And this is what I want you to imagine. Imagine having a copy of that book. Imagine if for your graduation present, I gave you that book. And you could read it. And of course, who would be the main character of the story of that book? Who would be the main character in that book? You. You. And imagine if the character from that book popped out of the book and gave you a graduation speech. What would they say to you? What would the future you say to you? Now, I'm 42, and I got a secret for you, young folks. The 42 version of you, the 42-year-old version of you thinks more like me than they think like you. In some sense, I know more about the 42-year-old version of you than you do. In fact, I know more about the 42-year-old version of you than you do. I know a sense about what they think, what they like, what works for them and what doesn't work for them. In fact, if they could stand here, they would talk to you for a long time. Because they're saying, what you do affects my life. It's so interesting. That 42-year-old person, and one day you'll be a 52-year-old person, and one day you'll be a 62-year-old person, and one day you'll be a 72-year-old person, that person's life hinges on the decisions of a 12-year-old. All right. Of a 16-year-old. Imagine that. Wow. How important your day-to-day decisions are, because you are affecting the life of a grown person. And if they can talk to you, they say, oh, don't do that. We got to pay for that. And they'd be like, oh, do that. Do that. Do that. I know you don't like it. Do that. They're depending on you. And they have to live with the rewards and consequences of your decisions. Have you ever wished you can go back in time and change something you did in the past? Have you ever, like, you know, imagined in your mind what it would be like if I can go back in time? Did you know that you can actually do that? You can actually do that. And without the use of a time machine. You want to know why that's possible? Because the present is the past of the future. Don't say, if I can go back in time, I would change that, because you're doing it now. Right now, you can change the future. Right now. Just in how attentive you are to this message, you're already changing the future. Just in how attentive you are to God right now, you're already changing the future. Just in how much your heart is open to the things of God, you're already changing the future. You're changing the life of that 42-year-old, of that 62-year-old, of that 82-year-old, and with God's blessing, 120-year-old. Yeah. Amen. Your future you has to live with the results of your decisions. And some of you are living lives, and in some cases, at the expense of your future selves. You're buying things and sending them the bill. But instead of sending them a bill, why don't you send them a gift? Write a letter to your 40-year-old self. I'm sending this to you. Enjoy. Enjoy. I'm making this sacrifice for you. Enjoy. I'm giving up these things I like for you. Enjoy. I'm embracing these habits for you. Enjoy. And your 40-year-old self is going to love you. See, here's the issue. And I'm not trying to criticize y'all. But your brain isn't fully formed. There are some researchers that say the brain is still forming well into the early 20s. So if you make poor choices, you're making choices that affect the rest of your life, and the mature version of you will not have had an opportunity to weigh in on it. And the adults, how can I say this? It's so funny. I know young people, they get tired of adults talking to them sometimes. I know we talk too much. We micromanage. We just think everything's gonna go wrong. We helicopter, all that kind of stuff. We don't have everything together. I know. I got it. I got you. And I get in a grill. I get in your parents' grill. I get in a grill. I talk to them about things they need to do. Okay. But what's happening is then when they see you, they see the 12-year-old version of them. And what they're trying to do is they're almost talking to themselves when they talk to you. And they're saying, if I could have 15 back, whoa, if I could get 12 back, you don't even know. You don't know how to play your cards. If I had that hand, oh, 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 that's where they are. And they moved on with their lives. But when they see a good hand like that, they're, oh, you, yeah. You know how people talk to the telephone screen when they favorite basketball player? Hey, shoot that. Oh, no. Ah, you know what? And so in some sense, every adult is the future you. Yeah. Talking to you from the future. Even the ones who didn't do right. In Proverbs chapter 1, I'm not going to read it. It says that wisdom cries out in the street. How long were you going to be simple and foolish? How long? So I'm saying this with so much passion and excitement because what I framed as what for some people is a challenge is actually your golden opportunity. I remember when I was 15 years old and my parents sent me on a missions trip to Europe. Some of you have been at this church long enough to remember that. And the before missions trip, Joshua, and the after missions trip, Joshua. I wasn't a bad kid, but, you know, God was all right. He's all right, I do stuff because, you know, I'm supposed to do it. I didn't give much thought to why I serve God, because let's be honest. Y'all didn't pick your church. You didn't pick your pastor. Really, you haven't had an opportunity to decide for yourself because you're minors. Not all of you. Some of y'all graduating. You ain't minors, but you get it. You know what I'm talking about. You haven't had the chance to choose for yourself. And that's really what we want. We don't want you to do it because we said it. We want you to do it because you want to do it. And it ain't good until you want to do it. It ain't good till you want to do it. And we can, you know, we can have a tantrum all day. But if you don't want to do it, it's the benefit's not going to be there. So we want this to be something you want to do. So to make my case, I want to touch on some subjects that I think that some of the younger people are concerned about. And some of the wisdom that the 42-year-old version of you would say about that. Is that okay? So what do teenagers think about a lot? What's on that top three list? Okay, you got social media. Okay, what else? Well, why don't I ask them, what's on your list? What do teenagers think about a lot? Hey, what'd you say? Huh? Is that a parent out here? Boyfriends and girlfriends, do y'all care about people liking you and not liking you? Is that a subject of conversation?
No, not really.
No?
Yes, actually.
Oh, there you go.
At my school.
Do you think about it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Anybody else? Now, some of you are more grounded than others. You don't let it get preoccupied, but somebody says social media. Guess what gets talked about on social media? A lot of different things, but talk about boys and girls. Okay, I want to deal with that for a second, because even though y'all talking to me like that, I know you're thinking about it. I know your friends think about it. I know you write notes and all that kind of stuff about it. So I'm going to talk to you about it, because it takes up a lot of your thought time. Yeah. And I actually don't want to chastise you. I want to actually help you out. The first thing I'm going to say is I want to address little girls first. You know, it can be tough to be a little girl. I shouldn't say can be, it is. In ways that if you're a guy, it's hard to understand. You know, when you're a little girl, everybody has a comment about what you need to be doing. How you supposed to sit? How you supposed to stand? How you supposed to dress? How your hair is supposed to be? Come from your parents, come from your peers, come from your teachers, come from social media. Everybody has something to say, and it's a lot of pressure. So just getting dressed in the morning is stressful. And you're like, I'm 7, I'm 8, I'm 15. And I go to school, and then I dress, and they treat me mean. Why? It's so funny. You wear the wrong color shoe. Somebody who don't know you, angry at you. They don't know you. They angry because your shoes don't match. What that got to do with them? Pressure. Looking at magazine covers. Who looks nice? Who doesn't look nice? What boys like them? What boys don't like them? Beauty standards. Things you can't talk about with everybody, but you internalize. Backstabbing, all those kinds of things. And little boys go through things too, but let's be honest, a little bit simpler for us. Throw some jeans on, a t-shirt and some kicks, you all right, you go about your day. You don't have to think about the multiple implications of a dress. And it's almost impossible if you're 15 to dress like you're 15 because the fashion industry makes things for either 5 to 8 year olds or a grown woman. And you want to be trendy, but I mean, you don't want to go too far, but you don't want to look like you don't know how to dress because you're dressing like a little girl. But almost everything they make trying to put you in high heels by the time you're 5. And you're 5. And that's just fashion. It's pressure. Let me tell you something. Junior high school, pressure cooker. Pressure cooker. But if you can get past the pressure, you're going to be okay. And I'm going to tell you one thing, one reason why I know that. High school reunion. You don't have to wait for your 25-year high, your 10-year class reunion. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go in there. First of all, you're going to see some folks, that's exactly what I thought. They was the best, most likely to get the Nobel Prize, become the President of the United States, and that's exactly what they did. I knew it. You always did such and such. And then you see some folks, they wasn't ever about nothing. And so, actually, you don't see them at because they ain't doing too well. They ain't doing too well. Okay, then you see some people, it's like, oh, you look just like you did in high school. Like, what you eat? Da, 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 da. It's like, oh, it's good to see you, like, look the same. And some people, you got to work hard to keep a straight face. Because this was the coolest, handsomest, or prettiest person, and you see him, you'd be like, hi. You'd be like, what happened? Ooh-wee. Yeah. All right, okay. Keep hope alive. And then it's other folks, they were the most outcast, nerdiest, unpopular, and they come back to the reunion for payback. They walk in, see, they got somebody already, but they coming in by themselves. Because they don't rub it in. And they just walk, they ain't saying nothing, they just walking, and nobody knows who they are. Nobody. You talking to them? I was like, I'm trying to remember you, what's your name again? And he's like, so, what? And inside, they're like, oh, you want me now, huh? You want me now. But somebody already put a ring on it, though. Somebody already, you had your chance. You got to invest in stock when it's not worth that much. That's what you got to do. You got to have foresight. What you discover is all the crazy emotional, social stuff he said, she said, like, don't like. It don't even matter. And you're sitting there like, why did I care about you? Why did I? Oh, it don't matter. You just let it pass away. If you can get past that. I know it seems like it's everything is riding on this. It's not. Every adult in here will tell you, don't act like we ain't been 15 before. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. We are farmers. The pressure cooker pressures you to see your value in how you look. And it camouflages your intelligence. I'm just talking to little girls. We know this because boys aren't smarter than girls and girls aren't smarter than boys, but boys or men tend to overestimate how smart they are, and girls and women tend to underestimate how smart they are. And what people are saying, when people say, well, you know, that just happened because you're so pretty, they're not talking about the intelligence that goes along with that. You know, you got to be smart to be seductive. Seduction requires intelligence. You got to know timing and psychology and sociology. Key people don't need to know. You got to study all this kind of stuff. It's all strategy, but people reduce it to, oh, you just look good. When there's a whole dynamic behind it. I want to tell you something about Eve. We never talk about it. Let me tell you something. Now, when we see Eve with the serpent, it's this long conversation. The serpent had to work his argument. He got to talk to her. She talking back. And then you go to scripture. It says, Eve gave Adam the apple. He ate it and they moved on. What did she say? What did she do? All we know is one minute he wasn't eating the apple or the fruit. And the next minute he was. You know what that tells me? Eve was powerful and influential. And intelligent. So young ladies, and all the ladies can say this. I want to repeat after me. Say this. I am a woman of God. And I am powerful, influential, and intelligent because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Eve at that moment, amen. Eve at that moment used her gifts and talents for evil. But what if she were using it for good? How could she change the world? By her influence. The first thing God gave her was a relationship, and she mishandled it. But she could have used her power to glorify the Lord and benefit the entire human race. That's what's inside you if you're a woman. To the young men, to the little boys. So the first thing God gave Eve was a relationship. What's the first thing? Because when she was made, Adam was right there. The first thing God gave Adam, what was that? That's one way of putting it. What was that? There you go. Responsibility. Responsibility. You know what? If you're a young man, if you're an old man, guess what a powerful and influential woman needs? Someone strong enough to handle her. Responsibility. Responsibility. I'm going to go back to the young ladies for a second. This is one reason why this is for the young men and the young ladies. To be honest with you, you're not going to be really ready for a relationship for most of you till you're on the other side of 25. I'm going to be honest with you. Boys mature slower than girls. That's just a fact. We ain't boys ain't dumb.
our process is different. And so you talking to a boy that can't handle you. He ain't ready for you. It's time. There are times when people just have to be little boys. Let him be a little boy and you be a little girl. He needs some more time. He ain't right. It's like going to the tree and the orange is green. Yeah, it don't taste good. He may not be ready for till he about 25, maybe a little older. There you go. There you go. But let me tell you one reason why it takes longer for, part of it is because of human nature. Other part is one reason why it takes longer for little boys, because nobody tells us, nobody teaches us. Some people do. But because you're a boy, people expect you to be a man. You're supposed to know. Come on, you're supposed to know. You're supposed to be a man. And so you're trying to prove to everybody else that you're a man when you before you're ready. And then you don't want to tell anybody you're not a man because then they'll think, well, you, how come you don't know? And you're in a pressure cooker because everyone expects you to be a man. You're trying to prove it in sports. You're trying to prove it in academics. You're trying to prove it with little girls. You're trying to prove it. But you really haven't grown. You are 12. And after you're 12, you are 13. After you're 13, you're 14. Take the steps. Be a little boy. Have fun. But gradually, what adults are trying to get you to learn is that have fun within boundaries. Even grown men like to joke and have fun, but a mature man has fun within boundaries. There is too much fun to be had legally, morally, ethically, and biblically to do something foolish. It's too much fun that you can do in bounds. You ever play basketball? You ever play football? What happens when you step out of bounds? It don't count. You got to start off, do the play all over. The ref basically says, kind of like what God said to Adam and Eve, you can have everything in the garden. Just don't touch this one. You can throw the football anywhere on the field except outside the line. And if you're a young man, just focus on that. Have fun in boundaries. And once you respect these boundaries, then people will give you, okay, we'll let your boundaries go out a little further. Okay, you can handle that. Okay. Freedom within boundaries. Okay, we'll let the boundaries go further. The more you can handle responsibility, the more your boundaries go. And for those young little boys who want to be the man, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a secret. You know what's really attractive? You know what's really attractive to a woman? A responsible man. I know you think it's your bare chest. I know that. They ain't mad at you for being a healthy looking brother. They ain't mad at you. But big chest plus immature. Big chest plus inconsistent. Big chest plus don't take care of business. Oh man, that's you. It's not attractive. It's not attractive. So if you're a little boy, brother, it's likely going to be after 25. Some people beforehand, some people, mature people before that, that's fine. But a lot of people, 25 and past, just work on, you a little boy, have fun within boundaries. Get your homework done. Do your chores. Honor your mother and father. Do all that stuff. Then go play. Go joke around. Go do all that stuff. Because if you do that, when the time is right, you will be ready. You will be ready. And then once you got that part on, then you get your little, you know, get your grooming game on. Get your fashion game on. Get your hygiene game on. Get your clean up your room game on. Get your wash your dishes game on. Get your game up. Did the refinement thing, and then you're ready to go. Young ladies, wait for a man like that. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about what a man of responsibility looks like. There's 4 key qualities we're going to talk about as a gift to the brothers for Father's Day. We're going to talk about that, okay? That's next week. What else I want to say? Okay, to the young ladies. I know you're hearing everything I'm saying, and it's going to be tempting to connect with the brother anyway. Okay, and I'll say this, for this is how I want to say it. A mature woman does not want to marry a little boy. But some women will do that anyway, because they believe they can change him into a man. If I just get enough time with him, I can change him. I can do something with that, because you're so powerful and influential and intelligent. You got this all right. If he just do this and that, I mean, we can work this out and we can be over here. But if that brother is not ripe, save your energy. So the mature you can have her choice of quality individuals. So I know I didn't cover the scope of everything a young person thinks about, but I wanted to cover that main part. And I'm on it so hard because the world is so eager to pressure young people to think about romantic interests at 8 and 9. And it looks cool on a TV show, but I'm telling you, people who make poor relationship decisions don't get over it by the next episode. That's fake. Yeah, right. That's not real. Amen. People who make poor decisions, it affects them for the rest of their lives. Yeah. And people who make good decisions, and what it will cost you to make good decisions is to temporarily look like a boring person, a person who doesn't have a life. It may look like that to other people. A person who doesn't, it may temporarily look like that. But when you 25, those same people who said you were boring gonna come asking you for money, gonna be coming to you for advice, gonna be over your house looking for counseling, because you know why? People like grounded people. You just plant yourself in what you're supposed to do, people will come to you. They'll come to you. The good stuff will come to you. So, this last phase, what I want to leave with the young folk really is, hey, fall in love with God. And look, I know the adults clapping and they're going, your parents are going to say, I told you. See, Dr. Johnson, he was talking to you. You listen to his message? Did you hear it? Oh, did you hear it again? We're going to play the CD. You hear what he said? I know they do that. I don't listen to that. Because I know you're going to do what you want to do. I know that. Even when you were a baby, you did what you want to do. We were bigger than you. So it made us think that we can control you, but really you're making your own decision, and I want to respect that. So I'm just being real with you. When I made a decision to follow God at 15, and I was like most of you, wasn't a bad kid. Just God was all right. Not worth doing a little extra stuff for. But when I was 15, I made a decision. Because I remember my parents talking about how much they love God. And they heard God talking to them and all this kind of stuff. I was like, I ain't never heard God talk to me. Like, what do he sound like? Well, what are they talking about? And I said, like, it's either real or it's not real. And when I came back from that trip, I said, God, I want to talk. I want to hear you. Like, what's up? And I said, I'm going to talk to you until I hear you back. And listen, if you don't talk to me back, I'm going to tell that. I'm going to tell that too. We're going to see. And so I went into my room and I followed the pattern I saw from adults, I mean, my parents, but also people, other adults I had seen about seeking God, praying in the spirit, reading my word, and locking myself into my room. Because when you're a young person, all you got is time. You just got time. I know you got homework and all that. Ain't nothing. This is the easiest your life will ever be. It's the easiest. You got time. If you don't want to play that sport, just tell them you don't want to play the sport. It ain't like a job, is it? You don't got to do it. Your parents spending thousands of dollars for you to do it. They'll be happy to be done with that payment. Just tell them you don't want to do it. You got time. You ain't got to pay no bills unless they're making you pay bills now. And it's, I'm telling you, we all the adults in here are like, man, if I can get 15 back, all I got is homework and chores. Are you serious? Are you serious? Whoa, you want to switch? How about you pay the bills and I do your math? How about that? You work, you drive, you pay for the gas, and I do your math homework. Let's do that. You have time in your life to seek the Lord. And I want to tell you something. Have y'all seen The Incredibles? Oh, that's one of my favorite movies. And one of my favorite moments in the movie was when Mrs. Incredible, she had, what's the other little boy? Dash. And Violet, is that her name? She was sitting there on the island. They went to go save Daddy. Daddy got in trouble again. Come on, y'all. We got to go save Superman. So Mama, and she's sitting there, and she's looking at him. And she said, I'm not going to paraphrase, but she's basically telling him, look, the world doesn't care that you're a kid. They don't care. They'll come get you. And so she's like, look, you got superpowers. Use them. I got to go handle this. Something happened. Use your superpowers. You got them. You part of a family of supers. You see this church? This church is a family of supers. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us and he lives in you if you believe in Jesus. You know what? I know you grew up in a Christian family, but I'm not assuming you know Jesus. I'm not, because only you can decide that. But if he's in you, he came with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is in you. And when you go to school, and when you do whatever you're doing, use your superpowers. When I started seeking God, he started activating my superpowers. And I was a different high school student. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. And the Lord wants to awaken him. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Samuel, but he was a little boy. And he was a young boy, but his mama said, you blessed me with this child. Lord, I'm giving him back to you. And she gave Samuel to the priest, and that little boy, I don't know how, I think he was under 10, he was in his room, and somebody was calling his name. He went to Eli, thank you. He went to Eli, and he said, Eli, what? It's like I was sleeping, right, rubbing his eyes, like, what you want? He said, I didn't talk to you. Wait a bit. You know, and then Samuel went back to bed, so somebody was like, Samuel! It was like, hey, he went to Eli again, like, I didn't talk to you, and then Eli said, look, next time you hear somebody call your name and you in bed, say, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yeah. And then the next time Samuel went to bed, he heard his name. He said, yes, Lord. And God started downloading. Amen. He says, I got some superpowers for you. I'm going to activate. Amen. You know, Harry Potter and all that. I'm not going to get on that. All I'm saying, that is the world of fiction. You have real supernatural power. There are problems you have your parents can't understand. But do you know who does? The Holy Spirit. When your parents are too much for you, you know how you do it? Stick the Holy Ghost on them. You start praying for them. Just stop the argument. Go back. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the Holy Ghost, and we're going to work this out. Amen. And watch how God works it out, though. Watch how he works it out. And his solution is better than yours. There's things in the future he wants to tell you now so you can prepare. And for some of you, there's healing in your hands. You at 12, at 15, at 16 can lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover.
Well, amen.
There's the word of knowledge. And if you've been here long enough, you've seen me operating this gift after a service. Well, I'll lay hands on somebody And then there's be a prophecy. A prophecy is a word of encouragement and edification. But also there's a word of knowledge. Well, he'll give me information about the person I don't even know. There's also a word of wisdom, which is guidance about the future, about their lives. Those are gifts of the Spirit, and they are superpowers. And all of us have the capacity to work on them. But what I'm saying is, don't let your youth be the reason why you don't tap in. Your future you is counting on it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.